Says, and that know in the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben, and we thank God for another Saturday. This is Issues of Life, a program that comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. And we thank God for this evening. And tonight is a little different. For the next 3 weeks, God willing, we'll be treating a different topic. So Brother Yao will be away for a while, and I'll be having a pastor from Accra joining us via phone as we go through these next 3 weeks. And very interesting topic. I'll be coming to it in the course of the program. But I'll be starting with the news for the week first, and then we'll get to it as I talk about the topic in the course of the program. Indeed, interesting times we live in. And, well, we just have to know that these are the days to get serious with God. These are the days to get closer to God, to know God for yourself. If there was ever a time to be a serious Christian, these are the times. If there was ever a desire to know God more, these are the times to have that desire and that longing to know God more. You know, you look at the way the world is going, the way things are going, we don't need to have any prophetic insight to know that things are not too well with the world, and clearly let's renew our minds and revive ourselves. If there was ever a time we needed revival in our lives, yeah, we need it more than ever before. The world system now is really ripe for revival, because these are the conditions that demands a revival, because the state of the world, the state of the church and all clearly calls for a revival. And it's important we start looking at these things. And tonight, because of the topic for tonight, we are looking at it. Revival is a very big issue which we have to start discussing, and because it's so serious a topic, which is also not talked about. But the conditions are getting to the point where we need a revival in our lives. We need revival in our society. We need revival in our community, in our churches. We need the hand of God to move in our lives. So we'll be talking about it. And but first, let's get into the news and we'll proceed from there. Okay, special greetings to our friends online in various places in the world, within Ghana and outside Ghana. Greetings to all of you. And for those who also joined the Telegram group last week, I uploaded a recording there, so you can easily access it. And hopefully that's the trend. I'll be adding the issues, spiritissues.info website. Yes, it's also there. And the Telegram also allows you to be able to upload files, MP3s and books and all. So I've started using that one. So to those who would want to join the Telegram group, just look for Spirit Issues at Spirit Issues or Spirit FM Issues of Life. I mean, when you search, you'll find Spirit Issues. The logo is like a blue cloud mic type of thing. And that's it. And so Telegram, and as I said, is far, far better than WhatsApp. And I'll be posting things there, like books, the PDFs, and all those things we use for the program. So if not at all for the purpose of this program, I mean, if you can use install Telegram, because it's a very good resource to have. Let's use the available good ones until they kick us out of all those places. All right, so let's get into the news. Israel to bar unvaccinated people from some jobs, says health minister. Israel's health minister has confirmed the country plans to stop unvaccinated people from working in certain jobs, but failed to elaborate on what they might be, adding anyone found forging vaccine certificates will be jailed. Quote, there will soon be jobs where, in order to work, the workers will have to either be vaccinated or undergo a COVID-19 test every 48 hours, unquote, Health Minister Yuli Edelstein said on Thursday. Flanked by senior Minister of Health officials, Ministry of Health officials, Edelstein did not elaborate on which jobs people would be excluded from, but he urged everyone to get vaccinated in order to help bring life back to almost normal. Okay. Vatican threatening to fire any employee who refuses to get vaccine without valid medical reason. This is according to NBC News, where it says that the Vatican is taking Pope Francis's pro-vaccine stance very seriously. Any Vatican employee who refuses to get a coronavirus shot without a valid medical reason risks being fired. A February 8th decree signed by the governor of the Vatican City State says that employees who opt out of vaccination without a proven medical reason could be subject to sanctions up to and including the interruption of the relationship of employment. Interesting. Okay, then we go to India, where we have these persecution cases increasing as usual. Hindu nationalists in jail, Christians in pre-planned attack on church construction sites. Christians in India's Jharkhand state were hospitalized after suffering injuries following an attack by radical Hindu nationalists who accused them of constructing an authorized church and converting people to Christianity. Persecution Watching International Christian Concern reports that on February 11, a mob of 30 Hindu nationalists led by a man named Sankar raided the construction site of a new church building and attacked the Christians. Many Christians were quickly injured in the attack. The mob was shouting that the Christians were converting people to Christianity. An eyewitness told International Christian Concern. They said they would not let the Christians continue to live in this place. Pastor Raman Ram and a host of others were hospitalized due to the severity of their injuries, whilst local police filed FIR number 2021 against the 12 Christians who were attacked by the mob. Three Christians, including, they mentioned the names, were arrested immediately and sent to jail. who were attacked are the ones who were treated as criminals and rather sent to jail, aside those who were taken to hospitals. You know, it's really, really some way there. And Jharkhand is one of the 9 states in India to have enacted an anti-conversion law, which has legitimized discrimination against religious minorities and enabled Hindu nationalism. Under these laws, Hindu nationalist groups are able to make false charges against Christians and launch attacks on them with legal immunity. Similar anti-conversion laws have also been enacted in the states of Odisha and a whole lot of other names there. And most recently, the northern state of Uttar Pradesh approved an anti-conversion law that experts warned would incite more religiously motivated violence as attacks on Christians and other religious minorities continue to escalate. A recent report from Human Rights Watch warned that prejudices embedded in the government of the ruling Hindu nationalist BJP, that's the party, have increasingly infiltrated independent institutions such as the police and the courts, empowering nationalist groups to threaten, harass and attack religious minorities with impunity. Okay. 2 Pakistani Christians charged with blasphemy for defending faith in public and could face death penalty. 2 Christian evangelists were charged with violating Pakistani blasphemy laws for allegedly offending Muslim sentiments and could face a death sentence if found guilty. Evangelist Harun Ayub Masih and Salamat Masih were preaching at Model Town Park in Lahore on February 13th when they were approached by Harun Ahmad, a Muslim, and gave him a book titled Water of Life. According to the US-based persecution advocacy organization International Christian Concern, a police report shows that the men discussed the divinity of Jesus Christ and the prophets, which led to an argument. And then an ICC report states that Ahmad eventually accused the Christians of making derogatory claims about Islam. Police charged the Christians with committing blasphemy under sections 295A-B-C of Pakistan's penal code. And then the 2 Christians could face execution if found guilty of section 295C. Quote, "We here in International Christian Concern are concerned for the safety of Harun and then Salamat," unquote, ICC Regional Manager William Sack said in a statement. Quote, "We are also concerned for the safety of the broader community these men represent," unquote. Open Doors USA President David Curry said even though blasphemy laws are prevalent in other Islamic majority countries, they are by far the worst in Pakistan and require little to no evidence for a charge. Because of this, Christians are in grave danger. Blasphemy accusations in Pakistan are often sparked by personal vendettas or religious hatred and sometimes lead to mob lynching, murders, and protests. Quote, the blasphemy laws, I think, are one of the most heinous tools used against religious minorities, particularly Christians, unquote. Kerry told the Christian Post, what it allows people to do is to accept unsubstantiated charges against one person by another person. It has given rise to mob violence and vigilante justice, unquote. Pakistan ranks as the fifth worst country in the world when it comes to Christian persecution, according to Open Doors USA's 2021 World Watch List, due to Islamic extremist oppression. The country is also listed as the second most dangerous country in Asia for Christians. All right, we go on with to the U.S. Nashville Church says that the Bible isn't the word of God. A progressive Nashville church has drawn the ire or the anger of the internet on the internet after sharing a message on social media declaring the Bible isn't the word of God, inerrant or infallible. Two Sundays ago, Grace Point Church, led by Pastor Josh Scott, shared a recap of this day's message on Facebook, discussing the Bible and the question, what is progressive Christianity? And then, quote, as progressive Christians, we are open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it can't live up to impossible modern standards. We strive to more clearly articulate what scripture is and isn't, unquote. The church noted before stating what the Bible is and isn't. Quote, the Bible, unquote, the church said, quote, isn't the word of God, self-interpreting, a science book, an answer stroke rule book, inerrant or infallible, unquote. Rather, it is, quote, a product of community, a library of texts, multivocal, a human response to God, living and dynamic, unquote. As of Wednesday evening, the post had attracted more than 1,200 emoji reactions along with 1,800 comments. Of the 1,002 emojis, more than half were angry faces. Just over 300 were laughing emojis, whilst more than 100 were sad faces. Just 157 reactions approved the post. When asked about the reactions to his sermon and if he felt it was good conversation to start online, Scott, who grew up in Southern Baptist, told the Christian Post in an interview that he believes it's a necessary one to have. Quote, you know, my intent really was, this is a conversation that we are having in our community. So yeah, I do think it's a good conversation. And I think it's a conversation that needs to happen within the sort of the broader Christian culture, unquote, he said. Quote again, he says, I think we definitely have a tendency to treat the Bible as an idol. Okay, and in doing so, we fail, I think, to see the real call, which is never for us just to read something, but always for us to read it, wrestle with it, and then embody the rest of it, the way we live our lives in the world, unquote, he explained. Quote again, if there are any sort of conversations that are off limits in the Christian tradition, then it probably just means we are afraid of them. We are probably afraid to engage them because we are afraid of being labeled heretics. We are afraid of people saying hateful things. In reality, they are important conversations. So yes, I feel it's something that needs to be talked about. You know, clearly, the churches now in the U.S. and elsewhere, I mean, even in Ghana, I mean, this progressive way of Christianity where we are becoming or these churches are, I'm not part anyway, so those churches are becoming fluid in terms of the times have changed, so the Bible should be modernized to accommodate modern lifestyles, you know. So these are the places where they see nothing wrong with this LGBT, and you know, they find reasons to push all sorts of things to be acceptable as modern Christians. You know, this lifestyle where we twist the Bible just to suit our modern, I mean, dangerous lifestyles, and then justify it as God understands, God approves, and all. It's dangerous, and indeed, people really have to be careful about these things, because I mean, if it's sin, it's sin. That's it. There's nothing like progressive. You can't. The Bible doesn't progress. It's as it is. And if it was wrong then, it is still wrong now. It doesn't matter how many people think it is wrong. If the whole world thinks it's wrong, it's still wrong. I'm sorry, the whole world thinks it's not wrong. It's still wrong so far as the Bible says so. So the Bible is the final authority. For us Christians, that is it. I mean, it's a done deal. There's nothing like, if you won't accept the words in the Word of God, and you won't recognize it as the Word of God, and you won't trust what is in and believe and obey what is in there, then what's the big deal? I mean, it's not compulsory to be a Christian. Just walk out. There are other religions. I mean, it is, you can even go and be an atheist, not believe in God at all, or be any other thing. I mean, New Age. I mean, all those ones are there. So it's amazing how people still want to be Christians. They still want to claim to be Christians and followers of Christ and hold on to the supposed Word of God, which they still don't respect and accept as the fallible, infallible Word of God. You know, so it's like a two-way thing. They want to be in the world and they still want to be in Christ. So halfway, and then it's like, that's it, progressive Christianity. I mean, anything goes, everything is acceptable. At the end of the day, you are just deceiving yourself, because halfway doesn't, I mean, make you a Christian. I mean, you think you're a Christian, but you are not a Christian per the standards of God and per the standards of the Word of God. And that's the clear point of it. All right, let's move on to Ghana issues, where we have homosexuality is evil. It's a threat to Ghana, according to clergy, and as they descend on the European Union over LGBTQI. And the Concerned Clergy Association of Ghana has said the support of the EU in Ghana for the LGBTQI community in Ghana is an evil attempt to legalize a practice that threatens the youth and family system of the country, adding that it is the promotion of evil under the guise of protecting their human rights. In a statement signed by the president of the association, Benny Wood, the opening of the office for the LGBTQI community with the active support of the European Union and the Union's pledge continues, and the Union's pledge continue to support the activities of the community is an infringement on the laws of the country and should not be countenanced. Quote, the EU has no right to interfere or try to change our laws and foster on us a practice that is against our existence as a people. They must be told that we are no more in the era of the master-servant relationship. We are in Africa. We in Africa may not have the kind of leaders we deserve, but we the people are very much alive to our God and beliefs as a people. It is surprising in the midst of a global pandemic. This is what the EU sees as a priority to be promoting, the statement read in part. And then we had another group, and the headline to say is, close down LGBTQI office in Accra now, Catholic Church to Akufo-Addo. That's the headline. The Catholic Church has asked the President Nanado Danko Akufo-Addo to immediately shut down the lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgender, queer office in Accra. The statement issued by the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference said, quote, we, the Catholic Bishops of Ghana, write to condemn all those who support the practice of homosexuality in Ghana, unquote. Meanwhile, Director of LGBTQI rights group in Ghana, Alex Kofi Donkor, has asked Ghanaians to look at issues relating to LGBTQI as human rights issues. He told TV3's Mariam Ajman on the midday news on Friday, February 19th, that persons who are identified as LGBTQI are verbally and physically attacked in the country. This, he said, must stop because they have fundamental human rights that must be respected and protected by the society. Okay, and on and on. So now the pressure is on the government to really act against it. And well, let's see what the government does, what the government says officially in this regard. All right, this final news is really worrying still in Ghana. 54.1% of boys in JHS and SHS have taken to drugs, according to a report. When I saw it, I was like, wow, this number is scary. I really think it's on the high side. I don't know how true the statistics is, but I think it's really on the high side, because to say half of more than half or close to, okay, half, 54 is just around half of JHS and SHS boys have taken to drugs, I really think on the high side. But let's read the news. It says, a report by the Consultative Committee to Combat Drug Menace in Schools has established that about 54.1% of boys in junior high and senior high schools use cannabis. According to the survey, which was carried out by the committee, 59.9% of boys tend to use cigarettes more in schools. No, this number there, I don't think it's true. It's too high. Yes, it's happening, but I mean, 59.9, that's 60%. I doubt it. The survey was conducted in 176 schools to ascertain the source and cause of an increase in drug use in various senior high and junior high schools in the country, following the establishment of the committee under the directive of the president. Within a year, the committee has completed its findings and submitted a report to the president through the Interior Minister Designate Ambrose Derry, who inaugurated the terms of reference of the committee on behalf of the president. After the survey, the committee has established that 36.4% of first and second cycle students in the country experiment with two or more different substances, that's drug substances. Given a breakdown of the numbers, the committee noted that about 88.6% of students that were sampled undergo stress in various schools, and drugs are the major influences of the stress. This occurrence has or was blamed largely on bad eating habits in schools, which, according to the report, contributes about 64% of stress in students. It further established that 36% of boys and 32% of girls use alcohol in schools. Hey, that's serious. While 34.3% of girls use shisha in schools. Also, it was recorded that 72% of girls use pain relievers in schools. According to the chairman of the committee, Bright Appiah, the committee used various methodologies to secure information, which included engagements with about 10 psychiatrists, 138 heads of schools, 72 guidance and counseling units in various schools. He added that the committee reviewed works by other institutions such as the Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, Narcotic Control Board, the Ghana Police Service, Gender and Social Protection Ministry, among others, to enrich their reports. Recommendations. Going forward, the committee has recommended that much focus should be placed on strengthening the country's social support system. Quote, one of them is the eating habit of students. They don't eat well, and that is really causing stress in them, thereby making them engage in substance abuse, unquote, according to Mr. Appiah. He also called for the establishment of rehabilitation centers to district hospitals rather than have them in psychiatric hospitals. He explained that a number of students would not want to go to such facilities, that psychiatric hospital, because of the stigma, adding that others also hold the perception that persons who are found in the psychiatric hospitals are perceived to be lunatics. However, the conditions they are in can sometimes be resolved by these district hospitals, he said. anyway, but it's worrying. The fact that these numbers are being projected as people using drugs at junior and high schools, it should be a sort of worry for any parent listening to this, especially if you have your children around that zone. And I believe there's a lot also to these things. You know, when churches are not having enough influence in the system, one of the side effects is waywardness, and these lifestyles, drugs, and all these things. You know, the role of Christianity or the role of the church in society cannot be overruled. I mean, we cannot overrule it, and we cannot also underestimate it. The church has a critical role to play. So, to a very great extent, I mean, the church, I believe, has also failed woefully in some of these things, because, you know, there's still room to reach out to these children, there's still room to reach out to these schools, but very few churches are interested in outreaches, I mean, evangelism to these places, and eventually that influence is really going down, where, you know, a lot of societal changes have made the children become more stubborn. Internet is another grave concern. You know, access to phones is another. And all these things are contributing factors. But in the absence of the strong spiritual help, then they start going these ways, and then one problem follows the other. I believe it's worrying, and as many parents as can help their children, feed them with the right word of God, establish them grounded in the word of God before they get to these levels in education, the better. Because when the foundation is strong, it really makes a lot of difference. And even those of children in these levels still have a role to play, consistency, following up, visiting, I mean, if they are in a boarding house, or communication is a critical point, you know, ensuring that parents really know a lot about their children and the friends they move with and hang around with and all. There's a lot parents have to do. We have a lot to do as parents. And I believe knowing the society your child is growing up in should give you the advantage of knowing how to train them in the fear of God. So if you've never been interested in bringing them up in the proper way, in the fear of God, the news like this should be a trigger to push you to do so. Because failure to do your work as a parent would eventually cause you problems in the future if you fail to do the right thing. Because when your child decides to go this way, then you can know that the future have issues. Because when you start using or testing or practicing drugs at GHS and SHS, then you are in serious trouble, because it will progress, it will affect you academically. We all know the dangers of these things and the consequences and all. So, well, this is an advice to parents. We all have to sit up and do what we have to do. And this is even the more reason why we need a revival in our lives, in our communities, in our schools. We need the revival of God. You know, I remember those times school, and where it's like you for those who are in SU, you are careful how to live your life, because you know you know that you can't do this. You are an SU person, and the non-SU people expect you to live a certain lifestyle above board. You know, they expect something out of your life, like, hey, actually, you are an SU person, so you can't do what every other person is doing. That mark on you, that tag as SU member, is like a watch. I mean, it places a lot of watchmen around you, watching you, whether you are going to also misbehave if we are misbehaving. And it was a good thing. It is a good thing, because you know that something is guided, you are guided by your principles that you are an SU member. So, of course, you should live like an SU member. You see, so these are the reasons why it's important to really get ourselves associated with positive spiritual activities. It really helps us and identifies us in a way which helps us to grow and to stay in that realm, because you know that you can't go lower than where you are, because you know, I mean, if you establish yourself in your workplace, everybody knows that you are this. They call you Sister Oja, or I mean, Osofu, or Osofu Mami, or whatever. You know, that tag on you, you can't go lower than that, because when they are calling you by those names, yes, they may be just making fun of you or whatever, but they expect, they have a certain respect for you in their minds. And they also expect you to live by a certain standard. So they've created a standard within them, their minds towards you, knowing that you can't go below this. So if you go below that, I mean, that means you are really failing. You see, so these are things that even encourages and helps us. So for those who you've made yourself like secret service members in church, I mean, you are Christian, but when you go to school or you go to work or in your community, like you are secret service agents, no one knows whether you are a Christian or you are a Hindu or you are a Buddhist or what. But in your heart, you say you are Christian, but no one around you knows you are Christian, because you fear that they will expect a higher lifestyle from you. So, and because you are not ready to live that high life as a Christian, you want to still be in that sub lifestyle and still be swimming in sin once in a while. So you don't want to identify yourself as one. No. Be bold and let people know who you are. It's for your own, it's to your own advantage. Issues of Life is the program. I'll be back after this short song.
Holy.
beautiful song by Carmen. And indeed, I mean, it's one of my favorite artists. I like playing his songs on this program for in all these years. Unfortunately, he passed away this week after having cancer and some complications after some surgeries. And he did a lot for the Lord in the course of his life, Carmen. And this is one of his songs. We've turned from your ways, Lord, your fruits we've ceased to bear. We lack the power we once knew in our prayers. That gentle voice from heaven we cease to hear and know. The fact that he has risen no longer sits or stares our soul. Revive us, O Lord, revive us, O Lord, and cleanse us from our impurities and make us holy. Hear our cry and revive us, O Lord. Though we've been unfaithful, we have never been disowned. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead compels us to his throne. Revive us, O Lord, revive us, O Lord, and cleanse us from our impurities and make us holy. Hear our cry and revive us, O Lord. I mean, perfect song for a perfect time like this. You know, I mean, the words can't be any clearer than what we find ourselves in now. And these words actually define the average Christian today. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit, we are not bearing it as we should. I mean, we lack the power that we should have. You know, that's it. The fact that he has risen no longer stares our soul. It's like we just live as it is. I mean, we don't care. These are the times that indeed, you see, when we find ourselves in these conditions where we are struggling with sin and the whole Christian journey is a headache and, you know, you are losing interest in this whole thing, the pressure on you makes it uncomfortable. I mean, you just feel like quitting the Christian race and all that. Indeed, it means that the conditions are set for a revival in your life. You need to be revived again. And revival is not some luxury, something which is for some people. We all need to be revived at a point in time. And as I said earlier, you see, with the conditions now in the world, it's like now the revival is more of an urgency. We need it more than ever before. We need it. Previous generations had their revivals, you know, we'll be talking about it in the course of the program as my friend joins me by phone soon. And in times like these, clearly the revival has to come. We need it. We need a revival because that trigger of the Holy Spirit in us is more important now than any other time in our Christian life. We need it now because that revival is also going to empower us to face the times ahead. And as we've been saying on this program and all, I mean, if anyone tells you that this world is going back to normal, it's one of the biggest jokes you can, I mean, you can classify it as one of the biggest jokes. This world is not going back to normal. That's why you keep hearing the globalists saying the new normal. I mean, that should tell you that they've defined a new normal for the world. And that's it. I mean, we are not going back to the pre-COVID normal as we knew. No. They are defining a new normal for the world. And that new normal is virtually a normal, quote unquote normal, which is not a normal one for Christians. That new normal is not something that is pleasant for Christians. They are creating a system, a world system, which will not be convenient for Christians, which is anti-God, anti-Christ system, which has no place for Christians, except you conform to their standards and their rules. So, clearly, that friction is what will bring persecution, because clearly that brings persecution. I mean, Christians would oppose or have issues with some of these things. And you can't head into such difficult times with our normal lukewarm Christianity and feel comfortable and be okay. No, because if you are going to engage in a tough spiritual, a real spiritual battle, which is going to be difficult and hard and all. You cannot go with your under strength or loose, lukewarm strength now. No, you need to be empowered to a certain level to be able to face the giants ahead. So all the benefits that come with revival, along with it, also comes with that empowerment, that spiritual empowerment and strength from on high to also give us the ability to endure the times ahead. So all this comes together to culminate into the need to have a revival in the times that we live in. Because, yes, you know what is coming. You've been talking about it. You've been reading about it. You hear, you see in the news. And I mean, it's obvious. You know, you can, you don't need to be a prophet to know what is coming. But beside knowing what is coming, how well can you prepare without the help of the Holy Spirit? How well can you prepare on your own? Clearly, it's not going to be an easy task if you want to go by your own strength. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and we are empowered, it becomes a different story altogether. And that's the reason why tonight I'm starting this. It was a heavy burden on me. I mean, this morning I woke up, the message was loud and clear, the pressure was on me. Like, I have to start it today. Start talking about this thing. It's needed. It's important. At least to my little influence of listeners, we have to talk about this thing. And as you hear it, and as you pray about it, as you start talking about it, as you sing about it, the Holy Spirit begins to move. Revival doesn't come automatically. As you read about revival, history of revivals, and all, you realize people pray towards revival. People call on revival. People expect it. There's an expectation towards revival. There's a desire for it. There's a longing for it. So you just can't be walking and sitting and just eating and drinking as if nothing matters and expect to have a revival. It doesn't work that way. It has to be worked towards. So prayer is important. But if you don't know what to pray for, how do you pray? You see, that's why it's important to talk about these things. If you don't know the need that is pending, how do you address it? You see, so that's the essence of, God willing, tonight and the next two weeks. I mean, as the Spirit leads anyway, and let's see how things go. But during the Welsh revival in 1904, there's this song, and it's been used in other revivals as well. Let me start with this song and we'll continue afterwards. This one was sung by the Gator group, Gator vocal band. It said, "Let us start with me. Let us start in me. You see, if you want to have a big fire in the church, is the individuals who must be lighted each. And then when we come to church together, we become one big bonfire. So the revival is not started in, it's not the church that starts the revival. It's the individuals that spark the revival in their homes individually. Then when we come together in the church, that revival starts. That's why if we are looking up to the church to start the revival, it may or may not happen. It may happen, yes, if the church starts teaching about it and inciting and, I mean, guiding and then bringing that needed information and the stir and the passion, then people can start moving along that line as well in their homes. But if the church is silent about it, how can the revival come? So we need to be revived ourselves before we can be revived collectively. I'll be back after this song.
There's a dawn arising on a brand. There's a strong way. and stirring across the ancient grave. There's a voice that's calling, will you be set free? There's a change a coming, let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change coming. Let it start in me. There's a fire that's burning, sweeping across this land. There's a heat consuming every evil plan. There is gold emerging from refining flame. There's a diamond sparkling where there was a shame. There's a revolution gathering on the sea. Oh, we all know it's a coming. A people must be free. Feel the tides are changing. Hear the waves are running. Oh, let this revolution wash away. The sound of rain and the thunder's rumbling across the thirsty plain. Could the drought be over if we just let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. There's a change. There's a dawn arising on a brand new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient grave. There's a voice a calling, will you be set free? There's a change coming, let it start in me. Let it start in me. Oh, let it start in me. There's a change coming, let it start in me.
Okay, welcome back to Spirit FM. Issues of Life is the program, and we are in Kumasi, Ghana, for the purpose of those listening outside this country. I'm Eben, and tonight I'm in the studio alone. Brother Yao couldn't. Brother Yao is not part of this series that we are treating for the next few weeks, and. But he's well and good. This afternoon I had a chat with him on WhatsApp. We interacted a little there, but he's well and good. And this song, as I said, is a major part of this program, this series I'm talking about, the revival series we are treating. And it says, there's a dawn arising on a brand new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. There's a voice that's calling, will you be set free? There's a change a coming, let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming, let it start in me. There's a fire that's burning, sweeping across the land. There's a heat consuming every evil plan. There's a gold emerging from refining fire. There's a diamond sparkling where there once was shame. There's a revolution cavalering over the sea. We all know it's coming. People must be free. Feel the tides are changing. Hear the waves rolling, roll in. Let this revolution wash away our sin. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change a coming. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a storm a brewing. There's a sound of rain when the thunder's rumbling across the thirsty plain. Let the drought be over if we just believe that the rains are coming. Let it rain on me, and then let it start in me, and on and on and on. Let it start in me. And as I was saying, indeed, for a revival to happen, it has to start in us. We can't say revival should start and we are not part of it. We should be the ingredients that the revival should start on. As individuals, we come together, then we are empowered as a group. We influence our community, we influence our society, we make a difference in our schools and in our churches, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and all. We need that fire. No, we cannot be comfortable in a state of lukewarmness forever or all the time. We should get to the point where we say that no, there should be a change. We should break that tradition of going down, 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 down. We need to be revived. I don't know about you, but I really think I need to be revived. I need to be empowered. And I believe there are a lot of you listening who agree that indeed you need to be revived. You need the power of God at another measure, at another level. we cannot operate at this low level comfortably. No. There is more to strive for. There is more to achieve. There are more souls to be won. No, we cannot. You see, for those on my broadcast list, I mean, I've been talking about evangelism in the last few days. You know, that the passion for evangelism is dead in Christianity, largely because there's no revival. I mean, we are virtually lukewarm, so that passion is not there. But when revival comes, that stirring is automatic. It just goes hand in hand with a revival, because the Holy Spirit is empowered through us, or we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The revival makes it easier to even draw people to Christ and all that. So we need a revival, not for ourselves alone, no, but for the souls out there. We need the revival. It's not like some selfish property owning type of thing. You want to be revived, then it's like you keep it in. No, you need to be revived for the body of Christ to benefit from it, for God's kingdom work to ultimately benefit in a larger scale from it. So it's not a selfish desire. It's not a selfish ambition. It is for the larger cause of God's work and for the larger cause of God's kingdom. That's the need and the reason why the revival is even important, especially in these days where he has promised that he will pour out the Spirit. And indeed, I have this friend in Accra who will be joining by phone. I think he'll be calling soon to join. And I've known him for close to how many years now? I'm from 1988 till now. So we've been friends for 33 years. And very, very good friends. And we talk almost every other day, almost every day. I mean, we talk a lot. Interestingly, this topic of revival, we've been discussing it for some months now. So when this morning the Holy Spirit was nudging me to start talking about it, clearly he was the first name that the Spirit prompted me to discuss with on this issue. We've been talking about it for some months now, way before the COVID came, and even COVID period, we've been talking about it the more. Because, you see, you can sense that this is the timing. Yes, this is the timing. But unfortunately, it's not a major time. Actually, I was happy when I've seen some churches are talking about revival as their theme and all. And it's good. But we should take it beyond just having it as name and brands. But to the real revival hitting is what we desire and pray for. All right, so he'll be joining by phone and we'll be talking. You know, there's a lot to do. When the revival hits, when we pray for revival in our lives, we cannot remain the same. Because when revival comes, there should be a change in our lifestyle. We cannot remain the same. Our lives have to change. The way we do things have to change. We cannot be lukewarm if you are revived and empowered. You know, so it's for our own good, as it were. And that's the reason why we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it starts from us, as the song was saying.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it okay now?
Yeah, this is better. I think the other network.
Okay. So I think we can start now.
Yeah. So let me introduce. This is my friend. As I said earlier, I've known him for many years, 33 years, and he's a pastor friend in Accra. As I said, we've been talking about revival for some time in our normal conversations. So I believe it's one of the one person I can really discuss with tonight, because we've been talking about it even before the Holy Spirit started drawing my attention to that. We start talking about it on air. So yeah. So Roger, welcome.
Thank you. And good evening to your cherished listeners.
Yeah.
This evening we're talking about revival. As part of assemblies, we've been praying for revival for some time, and God being so good this year, our general council came out with a team on revival, Psalm 85 verse 5. And 6. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thy anger to all generations. Then verse 6, which was our main theme. Will thou not revive again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You realize that in Psalm 85 verse 6, it's a question. Will thou not revive us again? Meaning that the people who were part of this conversation knew what a revival is. So you cannot ask for a revival when you don't know what a revival is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many times and many things that we that have gone into revival that makes us to feel that revival is normal. To the pastor, revival is another time of making money. Or showbo. Yes, let us be, we have a 3-day revival. And at the end of the day, there will be some fundraising. To the members, it is another time of getting the church filled, bringing out speakers or speakers and the rest. But we are looking at revival beyond this revival.
Yeah.
And go to scripture. We have Haggai, who spoke of a coming revival. Mm-hmm. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 to 9.
Okay.
It says, for that saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm interested in the glory of this latter house shall mm-hmm. be greater than of the former.
Mm-hmm.
We all talk about we are in the end times. We are in the end times. And therefore, if we agree that we are in the end times, then we are in the latter house.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Acts chapter 2, when it is Pentecost Day, every pastor talked about Acts chapter 2. But we are looking at a revival that is beyond Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
And Joel saw it in Joel chapter 2, verse 28,
mm-hmm.
where he says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh.
Yeah.
So we are looking at a revival beyond the church circles. So what revival that we're talking of? This revival sent us an incredible within the four walls of, but also affecting those outside the church.
Yeah.
So if we are looking at revival in this sense, then we can then say the greatest days in church history
is yet to come.
Our past. It is in our present and in our future.
Mm-hmm.
But as we look at all this, we have a question. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Can we have a revival that can surpass Acts chapter 2, Day of Pentecost? Is it possible? It is possible. Because when you look at scripture, scripture makes us to understand that the natural number is never the same the kingdom number. What is the natural number? The natural number is the statistics you and me went to school, studied, and therefore we can see around us that everything is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom number is that Bible says we are surrounded by a host of angels. We are surrounded by a host of people which are unseen. Those are the kingdom numbers. And when you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, you will see some of these things where Elijah and the servant were surrounded, and then Elijah prayed that God open the eyes of my servant. And he saw hosts of chariots surrounding them. I believe it is time the church begins, or individuals, when I mention the church, I'm talking about you and me.
Yeah.
I believe it is time we begin to pray that open our eyes to see what is happening behind the scenes, because that will encourage us. Mm-hmm. Some of us, you know, we have been making a lot of noise about this, and it looks like we are alone. But when I've got to understand this kingdom numbers, that is greater, it's not the same as the natural number, I had hope that we can push through this revival. And the revival does not a host of people to bring it down, but it takes you and me to agree and to agree with heaven to pull down hell. And that is what Christ said, pray thy kingdom come. Mm-hmm. So this evening, as we look at revival, we want to look at conditions that prevailed before revivals.
Yeah.
And when God took Israel out of Egypt, there was no hope. The Bible says their cries reached heaven. There was no hope. It was at the time that things were really difficult, but their cries reached heaven. When you started, you talked about the Welsh revival. For some time, I read about the Acts chapter 2. I read about Haggai, about Joel. But I wasn't so much convinced that, can this happen? Because most times it looks like it's a Bible story.
Yeah.
I have asked senior men of God who told me, oh, but we always have revival in church. We always have evangelism. So what are we talking about? So I needed to read books to convince myself whether it is possible. Mm-hmm. Then I happened to chance upon the Welsh revival. And in the Welsh revival, I will read a portion which gave us the spiritual condition of Wales. Then we can even talk about it.
Okay.
It says, at this time, the overall spiritual condition of Wales was as dark as it had ever been, and it seemed to be darker by the day. Bars flourished. Football, into brackets, soccer, cockfighting, prize fighting, gambling, and prostitution seemed to have completely captured the soul of the working class. Murder, rape, and other violent crimes were increasing dramatically, and the authorities were close to losing what control they had. The dark tunnels of the Wales coal mines seem a fitting symbol of what was happening to the country. Amen. Let's ask ourselves, are we in a similar condition now?
We are in a worse condition.
We are even in a worse condition.
Now the youth are seriously into betting, football betting.
Yes.
And the news that I read, the drugs. Look at the news that I read, the last news
yes,
item.
Yes, that you read. The LGBT office in Ghana. U.S. Biden instructing that everywhere we their embassy is, when the U.S. flag, they must fly what? The LGBT flag. So it tells us that the spiritual condition of the world is worse than it was at Wales.
Oh, yeah.
This was the condition. So I wrote same prevailing condition today.
Yeah.
And even much worse. But let's look at what was written. It said, but God was preparing a young, half-educated miner to be outstanding, to be the outstanding voice of his generation. When he emerged from the mines to the gospel, Wales began to emerge from the dark pits of a sin. So, we come back to this thing. We come back to a question that we all have to look at. that it is time for us to prepare an upper room over our lives. You mentioned that we cannot get revived in the four walls of the church, but the revival must start individually. So the upper room situation, it is time to create it in our homes, in our lives, in our neighborhoods. It is time to call down God's glory.
And that's the Acts, you are referring to Acts chapter 2.
Yes, the chapter 2. But now, bringing the Acts chapter 2 to our individual life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a typical Christian home, what happens? Mm-hmm. Do we pray with our children? Do our children see us praying? It is TV, TV, TV.
Football.
What happens?
Entertainment. Sports.
Entertainment. Yes. And after this, when you move from your home and you get to church, you want to be revived. Your heart must yearn for revival.
Mm-hmm.
My heart must yearn for revival. Our children's heart must yearn for revival. So there must be revival in your home. Because when I read the Psalm 85 verse, it says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Rejoicing does not end in the church. Rejoicing must affect your business. It must affect your home. It must affect everywhere you are.
Yeah.
And so this revival that we're looking at, let's pick Acts chapter 2. When the upper room experience, after they had prayed and the Holy Spirit came, which people did they fall on? They didn't fall on the people outside, or it fell on those who had prayed.
Mm-hmm.
The glowing tongues of fire fell on those who have prayed. That tells you that revival begins with you. Who begins it?
Yeah.
It's you. You receive it. And therefore, we can sit down and talk about all the evils happening in our society.
Yeah.
We can end up saying, our youth are bad, our youth are spoiled, our youth are this. But my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my fellow pastor listening to me, are we ready to pray down the fire of God? That is the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we ready to say that, Father, I lay down my life that you will cause your to fall? Rather than looking at how many revivals can I do in a day and how much money and 10% can I collect from this revival that I become the speaker. These are the things we have to be looking at. Many have been asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
That the remnant that we have enough, are they enough? The remnant number, are they enough to see the greatest days in church history?
Yeah.
When we look a little bit of about the Wales revival, we see that it started from one man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It started from one man. Evans Roberts.
Yeah, Evans Roberts, yeah.
Evans Roberts was not a pastor.
Yeah.
He was a coal miner.
Mm-hmm. 26 years.
He worked
years.
In the mines. And we all say that the mining work is one of the most difficult works at that time. But in the midst of that mining job, he found time to pray. When you started, you talked about prayer is an essential part.
Yeah.
In the midst of it, he found time to pray. We have time to pray that God cause a revival in our land. Cause a revival in my home. Cause a revival in my family. Cause a revival in my neighborhood. Are we ready? And when we look at the worst revival, there was an impact. And what was this impact that we're looking at? He says, many testified of being profoundly impacted by the presence of the Lord as soon as they touched the soil of this little principality. Even letters and telegrams from Wales seemed to carry the fire. As they were read, souls would be saved and revival would break out. No one had ever even heard of anything like this before. It was just in. Come on. Who says revival cannot come?
Serious issues.
Letters carried revival. Today we are not writing letters. We are sending emails. Mm-hmm. We are sending WhatsApps.
Yeah.
We are on Facebook, Instagram, and the rest. So that means that if letters and telegrams carried revival,
WhatsApp
your
messages.
Facebook writing can carry revival.
Yeah.
Your Facebook post can carry revival. We are in the generation where when you post anything, people like. I read something yesterday and I saw 2 million likes. So if what you have written carries revival and 2 million people like it, click I like, that means 2 million people will be affected by that fire.
Yeah.
Because revival is a fire. Fire spreads. No fire can be kept within. Every fire must spread. And revival is a fire that must spread.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I had to read this Welsh revival to convince myself that if it happened in 1905, then it can happen in our time. So the more darkness comes, the brighter of God. So it is time we all sit down. We all come together. We all agree that revival is possible. Tonight, we are not talking much about it. We'll be talking more from next week.
Yeah.
But tonight, one of the things that we want to let everyone understand that it is possible.
Oh yeah, it is.
It is possible.
It's true.
20 years, 30 years ago, we were not hearing certain wicked acts. At that time, it was not possible. Is that not so, even?
Oh yeah.
But 30 years down the line, it is possible. So what makes revival impossible?
Mm-hmm.
Revival is possible if you want it to happen to you. And this man, this young 26-year-old, who was not even a pastor, could pray. And that became the mother of all revivals. Ghana can experience a revival. The world will experience a revival. But God needs a vessel. Anytime you talk about the Holy Spirit and you look at Joel 2:28, there is a lot of debate. It cannot happen. Someone says Joel 2:28 was what happened in Acts chapter 2 because Peter quoted it. And I tell the person that Peter quoted it because that had no other example.
Yeah.
That was the closest example he had. But take it case by case, you will see that what Joel saw deeper than what happened during Peter's era.
Oh yeah.
Because in Joel's time, he is able to give a vivid description of what happened. Children, youth, adults, servants.
Mm-hmm.
In Peter's time, Acts chapter 2, it was the one who had separated themselves. It spread, but it is not in that quantum as Joel saw.
Yeah.
And brethren, listeners, we are entering into the time Joel saw. When you read 2:28 carefully, it says, before the dark days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you agree that life is becoming darker, then Joel is saying, before times become darker. Let's read Joel 2:28 well.
Yeah.
So that next week we pick it up from there. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let's define what is all, what is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
All means all.
Without exception.
Yes. So the target of this outpouring is all. The target of this outpouring is not some.
Mm-hmm.
It is all. Then Joel now begins to break the classes of the all. And your sons and your daughters. So that means that if you're drawing a universal set of all, your sons and your daughters are not exclusive. Mm-hmm. They are inclusive.
Yeah.
And he gives the role of what they will play, since they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, telling us that the old are not excluded. Mm. When you read about the Welsh revival, the age range that caused the revival was between 18, 16 years to 26 years. Yeah. That was youth. So the Welsh revival was youth. Then it continues, your young men shall see visions. What are the three classes of people we have in life? We have the children, we have the young, and we have the old. Mm-hmm. We have any other?
No.
We don't have any other. Then Joel goes on to Joel 29, says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. So if you think this classification fits a certain class of people, and then those who are slaves, those who are servants, housemates, and the rest, they don't qualify. Joel is saying that what I saw, they also were part of it. They qualify.
Mm-hmm.
They qualify. Then scripture says something that is wonderful there. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day.
Yeah. So clearly this shows that it cannot be what happened in Acts chapter 2.
No. Before.
Yeah.
Before. So it means that just after this, something else is going to happen.
Yeah.
Today, we are in Corona. Formerly, when you sneeze, we all say good luck. Now, when we sneeze, everybody runs away.
You even force yourself not to sneeze in public.
Uh-huh. So, we are seeing that terrible days are coming. Terrible days are coming. Today, everybody has covered his mouth. But formerly, which people cover their mouth?
Only doctors going to do surgery.
Also, sometimes it was this German shepherds, these big dogs. But today, we all cover our mouth. That tells us a terrible day is coming. They initially said vaccine, but now they are saying that we may have to take more than one jab.
And now they say three.
And the jabs, mm-hmm. As at now, people have taken 3 jabs outside Ghana.
No, now it's 2. But then Bill Gates said this week that he thinks it should be 3 due to the new variants coming.
And you have 3 jabs, and still we are not secured. So that tells you that a terrible day is coming. But as we look at, you see, the problem with Christianity is like we are running a race, and we tend to look back at what is happening. It is good we can look at what is happening.
Yeah.
But it is like we have all stopped running. And we are concentrating on what is happening. We are concentrating on the great and terrible day. We have not looked at what Bible said will happen before the terrible day.
Yeah.
And before the great and terrible day, it is good news.
Mm-hmm.
It is good news to you and me who believes in Christ.
Yeah.
Because there is an outpouring coming. So whilst every kid, every baby, now blessed, I've been taught about Kuru, I would prefer teaching toddlers that the outpouring is coming.
Yeah.
That is revival. Because in everything you call, let me read for you a statement, and then a statement from Rhys Howells.
Okay.
Rhys Howells was also one of the great intercessors, also coming from Wales. And he happened to travel to South Africa as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
When the South Africans heard he had come, they said, "You are coming from the land of revival. That means you carry revival. So we are ready for revival."
Wow.
And let's look at what they said. He said, in the meetings that Mr. Howells took, he continued to speak to them about revival. So number one, to bring about revival, we must speak about revival.
Yeah, I'm talking about it. It's important.
Everything you speak about, that is what takes over it. Every radio station is speaking about Kuru, so that is Kuru, it is Kuru that we will know. And it is time we also change the order and begin to speak about revival. Then he says, and in 6 weeks, the Spirit began to move upon the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday evening, when about a dozen of them had gathered in the Howells house, Mrs. Wells taught them the chorus.
The song
Lord, send a revival,
mm-hmm,
and let it begin in me. The song you played, by the Gator Band. Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. The Spirit was upon them as they sang. Now, one interesting aspect of it is that, and they continued the singing the next days in their gardens and elsewhere. In their gardens and elsewhere. It means that every day, wherever they were yearning for revival.
Expectation was high.
Expectation of a revival. Today, what do we talk about? When you enter the office, the first person who comes asks you, have you heard of the Kuru statistics for today? The first person who comes says, oh, how many people are dead today? The next who comes, he says, and they continued the singing the next days, not a day, the next days in their gardens and elsewhere. When I read this, I went to download the song and I brought it to my home. I did not add the words. I only told my children that I've gotten a new song. Let's see who can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every day we play it in the house. Because I realized that revival must be called.
Oh, yeah.
You can't sit down and cross your leg. A revival will come and meet you.
Yeah, it's true.
It must be called. So they called it. And this is what Mr. Howell said. As Mr. Howell listened to them, he recognized a sound he had heard in the Welsh revival. You know it when you hear it, he said, but you can't hear it. And by the following Thursday, I was singing it too. There was something about it which changed you and brought you into the stillness of God.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, some of you may have to download this song.
Oh, I'm going to
and just
it
play it every day.
Oh yeah.
Just play it every day. When Evan read the words of the song, the words of the song alone is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like, don't pray. You just sing the song. That is enough prayer. I am ready for the fire. That is enough prayer. And as he looked at the words of the song, let's look at the words of the song again.
Mm-hmm.
Because today we don't have much time. He says, there is a dawn arising on a brand new day.
Yeah.
Some of us are always sleeping, thinking about what will happen the next day. Will I be affected by tomorrow? Will I die? Will there be a lockdown? There is a dawn arising on a brand new day. A dawn is arising. Something is about coming. There is a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. What are the ancient graves? There are men who have prayed for revivals.
Oh, yeah.
It has not come.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our time. So we are to add our prayers to what they have prayed. Jesus said, Abraham yearned to see my day and he saw it. So there are people who are yearning to see our day.
Yeah.
And they have been praying into this day.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you and me happen to be walking in this day. And we are rather saying, there is no hope. There is hope.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the ancient graves. So somebody's grave is crying for a revival. And he needs your voice and my voice to be added to it. That there will be revival. I pray that tonight you will add your voice to the revival call.
Oh, yeah.
Says, there is a voice that is calling. Will you get free? You go around and whatever you see, your heart aches. It means that your heart must be set free. And it can only be set free when there is revival fire.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, God willing, we will look at the impact of the revival when it happened in Wales. What revival brings. And when you hear it and you are ready, you will go for the revival because we need to bring it to our land.
Oh, yeah.
Someone once said that if God does not consider, there will be no one in heaven because heaven will be depopulated and hell will be overpopulated because everything looks like the devil is winning. On this network, I'm telling you, the devil will never win.
Oh, yeah.
The devil will never win. He can never win. God has a reserve that the devil does not know. It is like in the Garden of Eden, when the devil thought he had managed to push man out, God said, I'll give a first prophecy. The child of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
When the devil thought he had succeeded, God brought the last thing. tonight, make up your mind that revival is sure. It is not the Osun border we know at church. It is not this fundraising revival. It is not when we have to shake ourselves. This is a revival that must affect every home, every school, every business, and everywhere. This is a revival that will sweep a lot in heaven, and that will depopulate hell. This is a revival that will let the smoker throw his weed away and say, Christ is God.
Yeah.
This is the type of revival we are looking at. This is a revival that is not within the four walls of the church, but this is a revival that is going beyond the four walls of the church.
On the streets.
This is a revival that must affect the ordinary man in the street.
Yeah.
This is a revival that the poor and the rich will all need. Because Joel said, all flesh. All flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. I think I have about 5 minutes there.
Yeah, but I have to round it up before the time. So God willing, next week. That's why I this is not something that you do one day. You can't use one edition to treat revival, not at all. So we will be continuing God willing next week. And let me read a portion of the impacts you started, but let me just finish that portion for our listeners. Even the most powerful politicians, statesmen, intellectuals, and rival religious leaders had difficulty denying the impact of the revival on the entire principality of Wales. Debts were paid, stolen goods returned, and taverns were forsaken and closed. A serious problem developed at the mines because the horses had been trained to respond to the curses of the drivers. And since drivers did not curse anymore, the horses could not understand their commands. Political
even
meetings.
Even animals were revived. Animals even joined the revival.
Political meetings were postponed because the members of parliament were in the revival meetings. That's right.
That's right.
Theatrical companies quit going to Wales because no one would attend their shows. Magistrates were presented with white gloves in many towns to signify that there were no arrests. The prisons were emptied. Revival scenes swept the universities day after day for months. Over 70,000 names of new converts were reported in the papers in just 2 months. Is this not the work of the Holy Spirit? Wow. You know, it's amazing. You know, the Lord showed a lady, is it a lady or a man, somewhere late last year, of what is coming. Is it? And that's why we should start praying towards it. That we are going to get to the point where people, you walk on the street and people, someone will just run to you that I need your Jesus. Tell me about your Jesus. You see, and this is why we should be ready, because imagine you are walking on the streets of Edum, KJT. Someone comes to you, I need your Jesus. Tell me about your Jesus. If you are not ready, how can you tell that person your Jesus?
Yes.
You see, and that you see, when the Holy Spirit triggers such movements, that means when the person comes to you, tell me about your Jesus, that person is ready to accept Jesus at that moment in time.
It is not a postponed thing.
So if
it
you
is
miss
there and there.
Yes. So if you are not ready and you say, oh, and then let me call my pastor. No, this is not that. This, so that's why we are getting to the point where it's not about let me call my pastor, let me talk to my pastor. You must be the pastor in that moment. That's why we all have to be revived. And not waiting for someone to be revived, not looking up to your pastor to be revived. It's each one for himself type of revival that we are calling, and that's what we are talking about, and that's what we should start praying for. And that's the essence of tonight's edition and the next few weeks, God willing, because, you see, it is something which the Lord has given advance notice that it is going to come. The devil is trying to preempt and trying to disrupt and trying to discourage and trying to let us lose focus and forget about what God has said will happen. But it should not be so. The church should not lose focus. It is time we arise unto prayer. It's time we arise unto seriousness. You see, we've lost our bearings in the course of the current world situations and scenarios and all that. But let's refocus and let the Holy Spirit lead us. It's very important because, you see, it's so important when you lose your bearings when you should be focused. It can affect your destination. So, you see, if care is not taken, you hear of the revival happening in some churches and in some places and in some towns in Ghana, and you and your house and your church, you'll be absent. You'll not be part of it. It's still going to happen anyway, but you may not be part of it because at the time when you should have joined, you didn't join. You looked on and pretend you thought it was not necessary. And others will take it on and be praying and be calling for it and be singing and be wishing and be dreaming and be, and it will happen. And they will be part of it, and you will not be part of it. You will just be reading it in the news reports. Hey, there is something is happening here, something has happened there, and your friends will be telling you WhatsApp messages, videos, pictures, and you will not be part of it. It's like, oh, had I known. It's better to be part of the love of God. Yeah, Roger.
Let me chip in this last thing.
Yeah.
Last week, my last one, who is about 8, came to me in the morning.
Yeah.
And said, Daddy, I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I said, tell me your dream. He said, in the dream, I saw Jesus. He poured oil into our hands. He said we should all open our palms. Mm-hmm. He poured oil into our palms, and we all started confessing our sins. I said, wow. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. This is a good dream.
Yeah.
This is a good dream. And that is telling you that it is coming.
Repentance precedes revival.
Yes.
Repentance precedes revival. Because it's like, yes, we are turning on a new leaf. We are starting afresh. We are restarting. Uh-huh. So you see, this is a call for holy lifestyle, repentance. Let's turn away from the struggles of sin, the negatives. You see, we have to start working on ourselves. Then the Holy Spirit will take over.
But you can't say let it start in me whilst you are not starting something.
Oh yeah.
What should start in you?
Mm-hmm.
If you say a change is coming, let it start in me, then the change must start in you. The change must hit you. Mm-hmm. The change must start from you.
Yeah.
And you must be ready for that change.
Yeah. Wow, Roger. Time is up, so we'll have to end it tonight, God willing. This will be uploaded on Issues of Life, and then those who are on Telegram, for the purpose of this, you can join Telegram and be just downloading the Issues of Life program in the group. Just look for at Spirit Issues or Issues of Life 88.3 FM. Just enjoying. It's an open group, but as I said, it's just administrator post only. So it's only I post the videos and the books and things which are necessary. It's not a group that people will be commenting and chatting to, disturb and all that. So don't worry about that type of thing. It's purely just to retrieve information. So if you don't have it, just install Telegram and then just look for Spirit Issues at Spirit Issues. That's the short form of the group, like at Spirit Issues or Spirits Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3. Just search for that. You see it. The symbol is like a mic and a cloud symbol, blue. So we just join. I'll upload the file tonight's edition today. The song too. I'll upload the song there. You can download it from there and then on the Spirit Issues website. And as I said, this message was, it's just this morning that the Holy Spirit started pushing me that I should start this tonight. And in the whole day, that the songs I've been listening to, the same song and others as well, revival. You have to push yourself into the mood of revival for it to be, for it to make meaning to you spiritually. And that's the essence of tonight's edition and the coming few weeks, God willing. And I pray that you would understand what we are talking about and you would start thinking about it, start praying about it. And as you see, you have to renew your mind towards it. this is not something, a privilege for some pastors alone. No, this is something for everyone, as Joel 2:28 says. I mean, it's for all. But we have to avail ourselves. If you avail yourself, yes, you are enrolled, enlisted. But if you fail, it will still happen minus you. The fact that you do not avail yourself or do not believe in it or do not pray towards it or do not wish for it does not mean it will not happen. Happening is going to happen, but you may be out of it because you are not part of it. You didn't show interest. But, I mean, it will be in our own interest to be part of God's great awakening in these final days, because we stand to benefit far more than we even we can imagine and even think about. Issues of Life is the program. This is Eben, and God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. As I said, you can download it later on, spiritissues.info. Or for those on Telegram, @spiritissues. That's the group name, the group short form. At the commercial, like the email, the way you write at. You can just search for @spiritissues, and you can find it and you join. And you have access to the file, the songs that we played. And I have quite some books on the revival as well. I'll be posting all of them there. I'll be using the Telegram a lot for these things, because when anytime you join, you can have access to the things that have been uploaded in the group. Unlike WhatsApp, if you join a group today, the things uploaded before you join, you can't have access to it. For Telegram, you have access to anything that have been put in the group before you joined. And it's much more, user-friendly and all that. So, that's it. So, good night, and God bless you.